The book outlines the belief book outlines salvation like this: the problem, the solution, and the outcome. And I like that because it shows the process. When we see the problem, we see the solution, and then we go forward to the outcome. And that's what this is all about, in essence. Why we're here. We have a problem. God sends a solution, and the outcome is salvation. The outcome is a relationship with God. The goal today is to provide an understanding of what we believe about salvation. How does it work? How does salvation work? How does one come to salvation? How does one come to have a relationship with God? And that's what I'm going to try and answer. So we start out with the problem. What is the problem? The problem is we are not born into a relationship with God. How much easier it would be if we were. If we were just born knowing God. Born with that relationship with God that we hopefully have now. Born knowing that He is who He is, that He is who He said He is. But no. See, when Adam and Eve were created, they came into existence knowing God. They just knew who God was. They spoke with Him. They walked with Him. There was never a time when they weren't in connection, in communication with Him. Until they brought sin into the world. And with that sin came death. And with that sin came separation. And so it's been with every generation since Adam and Eve, there's been separation. We are separate from God. We do not come into existence knowing who He is. We have to learn that. We have to seek Him. We have to study and struggle and work to find Him. Says the problem is we are not born into a relationship with God, but the problem behind that problem is sin. The big problem is sin. And it's everywhere. Can you imagine what life would be like without sin in the world? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the peace? And I don't just mean the lack of war. I mean the peace that would come from a lack of death. Knowing that everybody you love will be around you forever. Knowing that no harm will ever come to you because there is no sin in the world. There's nothing wrong. Can you imagine? But no. Because of Adam and Eve, there is within all of us a sinful nature. No one can escape it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everyone. Early in the chapter it says this, Romans 3:10 through 12. "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. And all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." The good news is that there's not even one. All of us are the same, you know, where no one is better than or worse than anyone else. The bad news is this is a really horrible club to belong to. It's because of this sin, because of this sinful nature that we need saving. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." We cannot escape our sinful nature, and because of our sin, we deserve death. The problem is that we just don't know God from the beginning. The problem is that sin coming into the world has separated us from God. The problem is that the wages of sin is death. Because of the original sin, we experience physical death. And because of our own sin, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus came. And Jesus came to make sure that we didn't get what we deserve. Jesus is the solution. The book says the solution is that, well, the book says it like this, the solution. There is only one solution, and our good God provided it. Hebrews 9:11-14 says, "But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." You're probably thinking at this point, what? You might even be thinking, wondering if I copied the wrong verse down. Well, I didn't. There are passages within this section that explain it a little bit better, but they're also really, really long. So I chose one that kind of cuts it down a little bit. But to really get the full effect of what this is talking about, I really encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. Because it gives us the how it works of salvation, why it had to be the way it had to be, why it is the way it is. You see, since the beginning, God has shown that only through the blood of another could sins be forgiven. Which is why he set the old covenant up the way he did. See, under the old covenant, you had to uphold ceremonies and sacrifices every so often in order to be cleaned from your sin, in order to be forgiven. It was only through the blood of those sacrifices that people could be forgiven, that people could experience forgiveness. And this really did start from the beginning. If you've read the chapter of the Believe book that correlates with this sermon, he says that God giving Adam and Eve clothing made of the skin of animals was signaling that it would take the blood of another to cover the sins of mankind. From that early on, God shows how this is going to work. It has to be blood. Ew. But it is what it is. It has to be blood. And for years and years and years and years, there would be sacrifices because they were necessary. They would have to do them over and over and over and over again. Every year, several times. But then Christ would come. The Son of God, holy and blameless. Jesus was the only sacrifice that could cover the sins of the world forever. And I mean forever in a couple of ways. I mean forever in that he will cover the sins of all who follow him from now until he comes again. He will always save those who follow him. But I also mean forever in that when he forgives your sins, he forgives them forever. You know, there's not sacrifices every year. There's not things that we have to do over and over and over again. Once he has saved you from your sins, you are saved from your sins. Does that mean we should go on sinning? No. May it never be, as Paul says. But once you're forgiven, you are forgiven. Don't let his sacrifice be in vain. Don't continue on in your sin. But don't worry either. Once you're forgiven, it's done. It's not like the old covenant when you had to sacrifice over and over. Jesus, as it says in Hebrews 10:10, sanctified us once for all. Because the sacrifice of Jesus was powerful and perfect, it was only needed the one time, and it covers the multitude of sins. The problem is that we are not born into a relationship with God. The problem is sin, and the solution is Jesus. Jesus was the only way for sins to be fully and completely and permanently forgiven. And it was only through His death, only through the spilling of His blood. So then what is the outcome? The outcome is a lasting relationship with our loving God. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, there no longer needs to be separation. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The separation between man and the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, was ended. There was no more separation. God is so good that He cannot be around sin, but the blood of Jesus washes us clean from sin. God says in Isaiah, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool." He cleans us white as snow. You can't get much whiter than snow. Because of Jesus making us clean, we can come into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. The same presence of God that was felt by the high priests, but only once a year. And only the high priests. But when Jesus tore the curtain, we can be with God. Because of Jesus, we can come to know our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit personally. Because of Jesus, we can be saved. Romans 10:9 says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer..." Oops, that's okay. "That if..." That makes a lot more sense now. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Let's read that one together. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Saved from death into life. Taken from darkness into light. And not just life, but life eternal. You see, that's just the thing. God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. He loves you so much that He wants to spend the rest of eternity with you. And that is just what Jesus' sacrifice opened the door to. It always makes the most sense to me if I think about it like this. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, which was good enough to cover all the sins of the world, we have a chance at grace. Grace is a gift that is given that could never be deserved. Ephesians 2:8 says, "We are saved by grace through faith, not by anything we did so that anyone could boast." No one could ever hope to deserve this grace. But all that we have to do to get this completely undeserved gift is put our faith in Jesus Christ. once we put our faith in Him, once we accept this gift, we are saved from death. Given the ability to have a relationship with God so strong and so lasting that it will continue on forever as we are allowed to spend the rest of eternity with God in heaven. How beautiful is the love of our God. How incredible is the gift He has given us. That we, sinners who were lost and without direction, can come to Him just as we are and find that amazing grace. So the question, as always, comes back to what do we do about it? We know what the Bible says about salvation. We know how it works, why it had to happen the way it did. So what do we do about it? The thing about salvation is that the only time, safe time, to accept Jesus and be saved is right now. You could step out of that door and drop dead on the spot. It could happen. No one knows how long they have. So if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? I laughed as I wrote that because I always told myself that I wasn't going to be one of those preachers. Wasn't going to be one of those guys who asks that question. If you were to die today, do you know that you know that you know that you'd go to heaven? That you would spend life with Jesus? But where do you go from this spot? I mean, where else do you go? We know what salvation is. We know how it works. This is salvation. And the only safe time to accept Jesus is today. Because you don't know. So if you were to die today, if you were to die right now, do you know? Do you know through your faith in Jesus that you've been saved? Do you hope that the Lord your soul will take, or do you know that through your faith in Jesus Christ that you've already been saved? That's the question. If you don't know, get there. Get there.